Webster's Dictionary defines compliance as the action or fact of complying with a wish or command. This is The Compliance Guide.
The Compliance Guide.
As a healthcare provider or healthcare professional, navigating the muddy waters of compliance can get tricky.
And that's why we're here.
Helping you mitigate risk while increasing your profitability. This is The Compliance Guide. Now, here's your host, Sean Weiss.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Compliance Guide. It is Tuesday, October 17th in the great year of 2023. And that means it's time for another hashtag Terry episode. But before we get started, I just want to do something. Terry's birthday was this past Saturday, and we should all wish her a very happy birthday. So,
you're so funny.
I'm going to serenade her for just
a moment. No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Terry Fletcher. Happy birthday to you. All right, we're done with that.
Thank you, my friend. That is really funny. We're always happy to make it another year once we hit 50, right?
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Mine's right around the corner. So, all right. So today we are taking on Don't Do That because it's stupid.
Haven't we done an episode like that before? Seemingly, this is our weekly motto. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. So take it away, Terry, because I'm kind of looking forward to this one.
Okay. So I just wanted to remind people. And when I say remind, just I'm going to give you a lay term kind of, this is a reminder in case you didn't know what audits are out there. And we're not going to do a boring segment. This will be a good segment. But just as a reminder, because, you know, we are now
Do we ever do a boring segment?
Well, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, audits or oh, this. And it's like, well, let's just, you know, give us a minute, you know, humor us here.
Okay.
So the one thing that you need to just be prepared for, and we're finding that more and more practices and providers aren't prepared, is that Medicare, first of all, they find so much waste. They say it averages almost, the last thing I read was $574 billion a year. Well, if they're looking at that much money, you know they're going to say, we want it back. So while the government's focused on detecting fraud, waste, and abuse, it's likely you're going to encounter some kind of audit. And what our theme is today is do not ignore these audits. But here's a quick rundown of what they could be. You might get what we call a CERT audit, comprehensive error rate testing. Now, this is just to see if MACs are properly paying claims. They focus on logistical issues, whether or not coding and billing are correct. They don't directly focus on physicians, but you know, and these are relatively simple audits. But it's important you don't ignore any requests for records. If you fail to give these, you know, auditors what they're requesting, they'll notify Medicare of your failure and you'll be flagged. And Sean will go into that in a minute. And then you'll also have to pay costs for not, you know, doing what they need. Then you might see a RAC audit, and don't be afraid of those. RAC audits are recovery audit contractors. They focus on errors created by the providers, and their purpose is to detect and correct improper payments to Medicare and the MACs so they can institute changes. And they're also independent contracted third-party payers, and so they get a percentage. But just so you know, they are usually incorrect. So from what I read in several different reports dating back to 2010, they're about 2.4% of RAC determinations are appealed. But of those appealed cases, 46% were overturned. That means they're I don't know what they're doing. And then the Z-Picker, now U-Pick, those are the most complex because they're comparing your billing with similarly situated providers. But Z-Pick and U-Pick are not random. They're under a presumption of fraud, and they often involve on-site inspections. They can be initiated by data analysis. If you're an outlier for frequency, whistleblowers, you know, reports to various hotlines, it's not pretty. So that's when you get legal counsel, hires a person like Sean, things like that. But audits are normal. This is not something that we're trying to, you know, make you afraid of or anything. They're coming. And if you haven't already got one, you should, first of all, be focused on compliance and making sure that you're following rules, obviously, but always looking at comparative billing reports and reviewing them to make sure you, because you get them from CMS. And so you can identify first. But before I also send it over to Sean, in the federal government, I'm finding a lot of people are ignoring these, and that's not okay. And then when they, the reason I'm getting is, well, I just had one from United Healthcare, or I had one from Aetna or Cigna, and I passed. And I said, oh, can I see your letter showing me that you did well? And they say, oh no, I just didn't hear anything after the audit. I'm trying hard not to laugh, but no news is not good news in this climate of audits. It means that they're either still thinking about it, they did not inform you, and they just decided to drop you from, you know, being a preferred provider, or they're going to eventually issue something, or they just, you have to request it. Where I've actually seen and buried in some United Healthcare policy that once you get an audit, you have to request results, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. But Sean, I'll send it over to you and start with the government and just what your opinion is people ignoring audit requests.
Don't do that. That's just stupid.
He's like, I'm done. Just don't do it. Well, what have done when you had to come in for people who've ignored?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing, right? Ignoring an audit is like ignoring the check engine light on your vehicle, right? It's not going to go away. It's not going to get better on its own. You have to maintain your car. You have to take it to the shop and get serviced. Well, same thing. You get a request for additional documentation, you know, an ADR. You're getting demand for medical records, for the production of those medical records for an audit, whether it's a UPIC, whether it's a MAC, whether it's a RAC, whether it's a Medicaid integrity program, whatever it is, right? A MFUKU, an SIU, a SMRC, whatever. You've got to respond to those. One, you're contractually obligated to respond under 42 CFR. Okay. And I can get you the subsection of that. Not responding to an audit is not going to make it go away. It's going to do a couple of things. One, if you are non-responsive, the entity requesting the information will report back to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in Baltimore and let them know that you have ignored their requests. They typically will make 2 to 3 requests. After the last request has been made, if you have not submitted your medical records, if you have not requested an extension, then Medicare will either suspend your payments or they will do what's referred to as a revocation of your provider number, which means you can no longer bill Medicare. On top of that, they will make a determination that all of the claims that you billed for services are not medically necessary, and they will issue a demand for refund request, which means now you have a liability. If, like a couple of groups that came to me and said, well, you know, we just never paid them. You know, we thought, you know, they're chasing everybody else, so maybe they'll leave us alone because we didn't exactly have the money to pay them at the time. And then they call me and they're like, we just got a notice from the Department of Treasury that they're freezing our accounts. What do we do? Well, you should have paid your debts. Folks, just because you got an audit doesn't mean you did something wrong. It means that by statute, the government, or by contractual obligation, a commercial insurance company has the right to review the documentation. Remember, you own the medical record. The patient owns everything inside of that medical record. And by their participating as a beneficiary, they've granted access under treatment, payment, and operations to the insurance companies so that they have an ability to ensure that the services you're rendering and that you're billing to receive remunerations are medically appropriate, reasonable, and necessary. Excuse me. If you don't submit the documentation, then you are admitting that either you have no documentation or the services you rendered are not medically necessary. So if you're concerned about what the outcome of an audit is going to be, call me. Call Terry Fletcher. Call Robert Lyles. Call Amanda Wesch. Call Gabriel Imperato. Call Ronald Chapman. Call Elizabeth McCullough. Call K. Nicole Emanuel. It doesn't matter. Pick up the phone and call somebody who can help you. Ashley Morgan, whoever it is, Jennifer Papa. Now, the other thing that you said, Terry, that just kind of made me cringe is, well, we were audited by a commercial payer and we did just fine, so why should I have to respond to the government? Because a commercial payer is not the government. I mean, you know, there used to be what was called the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. And it was like Ron White, Jeff Foxworthy, Larry the Cable Guy, and one other guy who was, can't remember his name. But one of the guys on there used to do this skit about, here's your sign, right? When people do dumb things. Saying that you were audited by a commercial insurance company, but now you got a notice of audit from a governmental entity and you're going to ignore it because you were audited by a commercial payer, that's just not smart. They are not the same. Respond accordingly. Don't sit on it. Don't wish it away. Respond. All right, let me stop there before I say more things to get myself in trouble.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I do see a lot of ignoring. And by the way, the comedian you were thinking of was Bill Engvall. I listened
Thank
to him
you,
too.
Bill Engvall. That's right. With an E, sign. Bill Engvall. Yeah.
But it was interesting because when I get a lot of offices that, especially commercial plans, are now saying, well, if Medicare can collect, so can we. You know, they're kind of following suit. And when I see offices saying, well, they looked at our charts and we didn't hear anything, it reminds me. And then I say, well, you know, because after I've asked, you know, for the letter of, you know, release or whatever, showing that they passed, it reminds me of when you and I go into practices and they're doing something that isn't appropriate. And I'm just like, why are you billing that way? Well, because that's how we were told. By whom? And they don't know who it is. There seems to be a breakdown in not only assumptions being made in the, you know, revenue cycle management, in the compliance in your practice. And the other thing, and I wanted to make this point, especially since we're on the compliance guy, is I'm noticing that a lot of compliance errors or compliance missteps, I'm trying to figure out what to call them when you kind of let this stuff go by the wayside, your compliance policies are not being updated. You know, once you get an audit, and let's say that you had a TPE audit, you know, Target, Probe, Educate, and you now have to, once that comes in and they tell you what was wrong, you have to show them that you have a corrective action plan. And let's just say that you're under, you know, you had an audit that didn't require that due to its title. You still want to have one because you don't want to repeat, you know, mistakes of the past. And I know that one of the things that's really tough for practices, and I know, Sean, you must hear this as much as I do. Well, they're just out to get us. These are stupid. You know, that you might think they're stupid. You might think that it's, you know, inappropriate. You're being targeted. It's just, you know, waste time, whether it be government or private payers. And for a certain percentage of that, I'm with you on that, because I see that, you know, United Healthcare just, you know, for third quarter had what, $56 billion in profits or some just ridiculous right. amount. Yeah. I posted it to LinkedIn from a Becker's Health post. But the thing that you have to realize on this is that I realize our federal government right now isn't good about this, except when it comes to, you know, healthcare and making sure it's there, is oversight.
Our federal government is not good at something? What?
No, they send money out of country and then they go, we don't care what they do with it. Sorry, I had to put that in there. But when it comes to accounting for dollars and how money's spent and, you know, what's getting paid, I look at audits as really, you know, kind of an oversight. It's a way to show compliance with the rules, the, you know, Medicare Integrity Manual, to make sure that what is being, you know, paid out is supposed to be paid out. That's a big reason for CERT audits. But the big thing that if you're doing things right, don't be afraid of it. You know, once you, I mean, even the, you know, I kind of probably scared people with the UPIC, ZPIC, because those are targeted, but those are not accident. But it doesn't mean that person was correct. It could have been a disgruntled employee. It could have been somebody that, you know, just decided I'm going to go after the physician. I'm not saying that's always the case, but because, you know, whistleblowers do get a percentage, so there's always an incentive there. And, you know, Sean and I always say, follow the money. But just in general, when you get a request, whether it be under an audit, whether it be just for records, whether it be an insurance company, you know, just wanting to see even for one patient, you know, can we see the report? It's important that you respond, and it's important that you have point people in your office that know who responds to what request. You know, if it's medical records, does it go to the medical record department, and do they have protocols there under the, what is it now? The, not the No Surprise Act, the Cures Act, where, you know, the, what is it? No blocking information. God, I just taught a webinar on this.
Oh, information blocking.
No information blocking. You know, you also have to give, if a patient asks for records, you have to give it to them in the way they want it. And so it can't, you know, if you have a certain app that you can give it to them, but you're like, no, go look in your patient portal, that's a violation of that new regulation. So you have to not only can't ignore the request for records, whether it be a payer or a patient, you have to respond to it for a patient in the way they want it, if that's something that you have available. So ignoring requests for any information at all is only going to hurt you in the long run, because now they're going to wonder, what else are you hiding? And it could not only expand the audit, but like Sean mentioned, monetarily, now you're going to have to backtrack. Now you're going to have to hire an attorney. Now you're going to have to find somebody to help you deal with what you weren't dealing with before. And so it's really important, because a lot of these requests still come in through paper mail. And so you definitely want to have somebody who is not just opening the mail looking for checks if they're not getting electronic payments, but they can recognize what's junk mail and what is a request for information, a request for records, a request for, you know, whatever they're asking for, and direct it to the right person. One of the things in the central billing office that I think is kind of a joke sometimes, you put something in your tray and say, I'll get to it. And it's amazing how quickly a month passes by, 2 months pass by. And Sean, what are usually the time limits to that you have to respond to these requests? Is like 30, 45 days, 60 days, some things like that?
Yeah, some of them will say within 10 days. It depends on the type of request it is, right? Some will say 10 days, some will say 15, some are 30, some... I've never seen any give you more than 30 days unless you request an extension. Any that ask for the submission of the information within 15 days, you need to call them and let them know that there's no way you're submitting within 15 days.
Yeah.
Go back, review your contract, and make sure. Now, if it's a prepayment review, remember, you cannot request an extension on a prepayment review,
right,
only on post-payment reviews. So be careful with that.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. And just again, to my point of who's opening your mail, who gets the prepayment review versus who gets a post-payment review? Does one go to a collection, to collectors, and does one go to the coder? Does it go to the administrator? It, you know, one of the things that I do find in offices, and we find this all the time, is the lack of training for staff for how to use things, you know, what's the compliance, even training for physicians, you know, what their role is in financials, which we hope it's really small, leave it to your staff. But what specific staff member is responsible not only for opening that letter, responding to it, directing it, and then following up on it? Was it done? And then what was the outcome there? This is all part of compliance. And, you know, Sean and I can talk about compliance for days and days and days, 24 hours a day, and it's all different things. And this is one of the downfalls that we see a lot. And it's causing a lot of havoc within practices. And I think one of the things we find most often, and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, is a lot of compliance issues or violations could have been avoided.
Well, the majority of them could have been avoided.
Yeah. I mean, it's not things where, oh, I didn't know. It's no, it's you actually could have known if, I mean, you can Google anything nowadays, but if you really did your due diligence, if you were, you know, heads up about what the rules are for doing certain things. I mean, I just got a inquiry, I think it was Friday, from somebody who said, hey, we're still billing the nurse visit with the 85610 for a pro time for a Coumadin patient. I'm like, you're doing what? I'm like, the anti-coag codes came out 5 years ago. You're not supposed to use a nurse visit for that. Oh, when, what? And I'm just like, I think the most, and I'm not going to say funniest, but the most amusing one that I face planted several times is when somebody says, hey, we're still getting denials from Medicare for consult codes. Okay, really? This changed in 2011. So, you know, now you've got 12 years, you haven't updated your policies. I'm like, oh my gosh. And you're just now finding
it's just ridiculous.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
I know. I had a practice that they were told, and again, they don't know who told them, but we were told, I'm like, by whom? Who is this magic or hit person out there telling everybody things that are wrong? But they were doing joint injections and they were told that the injections were inclusive of the medicine and they can't bill the medicine extra. Oh yeah. Okay. So you guys, you can't see Sean's face right now, but he looked at me like, what? Yeah. I mean, if you pay for it and you're paying out of pocket for it, you get to charge for it. That's kind of just a simple rule. And so,
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So they weren't for 3 years, they weren't billing for Synvisc and Hyaligen injections for joints. And so I came up with $1.7 million in loss. And the doctor's like, is there any way to recoup it? I'm like, go ask the person who said not to do this. And they're like, we don't know who that was. It just, we were told. And I'm just like, who told you? So, you know, and that's part of the theme today is that if you're ignoring things that you're realizing that you're losing money or you're realizing that, you know, there was an audit request or their patient record request or just something that, you know, do the sniff test. If it doesn't smell right, it probably stinks. So just, you know, try to really be a little more heads up about things that are coming in and requested from you.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to stop there. No, you said it all. You said it all.
I know.
All right. Any final thoughts on this?
No, I just think people need to make sure that they have the right people responding to and making sure they're following up on any requests that come in. And again, if you have any questions, find yourself a credible, reliable consultant that you trust. And if you don't have a direction, because there are certain federal audits out there that you are going to need assistance on.
Absolutely. All right. I think we've made our point crystal clear. Don't do stupid things.
And nope. We'll end with that.
All right. To each and every single one of you, thank you all so much for tuning in, logging on, and just hanging out with Terry and I for a little while. Again, when you hear this podcast on Tuesday, make sure you reach out to Terry on LinkedIn, blow up her inbox, blow up her message board, and wish her a happy and healthy belated birthday. All right. I am not doing any further Compliance Guy programs this week because I will be in Chicago at the Ascent Conference, where I'll be presenting a couple of times, and then I will be in Las Vegas at AMBA with Ron Chapman, Eric Rubenstein, and Robert Lyles, and we will all be presenting out there on Thursday this week. So until next week when we do our next Monday Coding and Compliance Roundtable, remember, be good to yourself, but more importantly, y'all be good to each other. Take care.
You've been listening to The Compliance Guy. Sean has been doing this for 28 years. He holds 10 national board certifications. He's a partner and the vice president of compliance for Doctors Management, LLC. He's a subject matter expert in federal court. He's lectured at the most prestigious institutions. He's engaged with members of Congress in both chambers. So what we're saying is he's qualified? We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can find us on social media at The Compliance Guy. See you next time on The Compliance Guy.